Thank you, choir, and good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I'd like to welcome everyone. Obviously, our pastor is not with us this morning, so we ask that you would pray for her. She's fine. She's just visiting with some relatives that are in town, so don't be alarmed, as I was when she called me. So anyway, she's doing well. So pray for her. And we'd like to just welcome any guests that we have this morning, first-time guests or returning guests as well. And we want you to feel welcome here. This is the house of the Lord. We have a loving spirit in this church, and we want you to share in that love with us. So I know that we've had opportunity to visit for just a short while, but only an opportunity, just a couple minutes, to say hi to everyone. Let's do that again. If you would just greet everybody.
Morning, everyone. My name is Robin Towers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of April. And I would like to also welcome everyone here today. Again, if you have prayer or praise, please write those on the yellow forms that are in the pew. Put them in the offering plate. If you would, let's go over our week announcements, please. You'll turn to the back of your bulletin. You will see what's going on this week. Monday, we have a children's ministry at 6, prayer warriors at 7. On Tuesday, we do have our worship committee meeting at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, choir and youth. Thursday, no choir? Again? Okay. All right, the choir's on vacation. We have two Bible studies on Thursday that all are welcome to attend. And I guess we have the day off on Friday. Saturday, we have Love Bugs. And then we'll be back at church again on Sunday. So, also, I just want to take a few seconds of your time to just plant in your minds a fashion show that will be presented here at Calvary called Buttons and Bows. This is going to be in June, and the reason we are doing this is to raise money to send Andy to music camp, which is in Lake Alaska, a wonderful worship experience. I wish I was going. But anyway, we will be having this on June 19th, and you'll be hearing more about it as we get closer to June. But let me tell you, you don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss it, because the men of Calvary is going to be the fashion models, okay? So, just be prepared. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as a church, I would like to see the church community come out and support this so that we can help financially send Andy to the music camp. Do we have any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Okay, if you would, please get out your worship elements and join with me. We have been freed. Christ the Lord is risen.
Even though we have not touched his wounded hands, yet we believe.
Even though we have not heard him speak our names, yet we believe.
Let us celebrate God's love like Jesus.
Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, let us rise. Open our hearts today to the presence of Jesus Christ. Erase our excuses for unbelief and exchange them for strong witness to the power of your mercy and love. Give us courage and challenge us to walk a path of discipleship, knowing that Jesus goes before us, leading and guiding our steps. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you'd stand and turn in your hymn book to number 557. you turn in your hymnals, number 886, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again. Am I on the wrong one or something?
No.
Okay.
We read the bold, you read the other.
Okay, great. And in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe. God help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
The kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Time now for our children's moment. If the children will come forward, all of them, any of them, none of them. We don't have any kids here this morning. Yes, we do. Of course we do. Yes, come on up.
My mom was handicapped on crutches, and all of the people saw the smoke and flames, and they drove over to our house, and the fire trucks couldn't get through. So when they had to come up with a new place to live, the fact that I was not living with them anymore, I was married and in Virginia, they waited till Easter Sunday to call me because they wanted me to know they had a place to live, and it didn't matter that the house burned down. And everybody was okay, so nobody got hurt. And they had an address and a telephone, and I shouldn't worry at all. So my dad got on the phone, and he said, "Betty, this is the best thing that ever happened to us." And I said, "You know, Dad, I thought you were funny, but you're crazy." And he said, "No." He said, "God is so good." He said, "Remember when we built that house? We only put one bathroom in there. And now we can rebuild a whole new house with two bathrooms. Isn't God good?
Whatever you think, Dad, you keep thinking.
But that was positive thinking. And that's the way I was raised, with a mother and a father. They never thought negative. I never heard my dad say, I'm kind of horrified by the human being. And I think that when you think positive and good things, it puts you in a good mood, doesn't it? It makes you feel really, really good. And so I try to stay positive. That doesn't always happen, because I'm not like my dad. But if you go to school and you don't know if there's somebody you really, really like, if you think about the good things that that person did, maybe they do good things for the teacher, or they maybe help you if you're having a problem, or maybe if you didn't have enough money for lunch, they offer to give you lunch. There's something good about everybody, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And when we find the good things in people, it makes us happy all the time. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel good, doesn't it? So that's my story, and it's a true one. Just follow it. Dear Lord, please bless these children this week. Please help them to know your will and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It is time now for our offering as we give our gifts and tithes back to God and all those that He serves. As the ushers come, I would ask that you would give according to each order His ability, His or her ability. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for allowing us to be here, Lord. And we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to lift up our offerings, our gifts, our tithes to you and all those that you serve on behalf of this church. Bless the gifts, bless the givers, each according to his or her ability. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
This is for Jamie Stowers.
Sin will take your life and turn it upside down. It'll take you still. can settle for less. We look until we think we found the very best, but the best God has for us if we only trust and obey His will. Then
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise God for that. We praise God for the music ministry in this church.
Amen.
And the music ministry in every church, every one of God's churches. Praise God. Thank you. And in keeping with the prayer tradition that our pastor has started, we'd like to ask that you now enter into a time of meditation. Empty yourself of things that are in the way. Open yourself up to the voice of God. You may close your eyes if you wish. But we simply want you to right now meditate and think of God and all the wonderful blessings that He's brought us each and every day. And at the appropriate time and a time of your own discerning, if you have a special prayer need or a special prayer offering or even a praise report, we would ask that you would lift that up at any time as God wills. Hear our prayers, Lord.
Grace, peace, health, and happiness to our children.
Amen.
Rahim.
Amen. Amen.
Nicole Green.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God for Jim and Mary Stowers.
Amen. We lift up Pastor Esther. Amen.
Praises for our Calvary family, closeness that we have.
Dear Heavenly Father, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. That resurrection, Father God, is the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And Lord, we thank you for that news drawing us into an ever-widening and an ever-deepening relationship with you, for giving us hope in the face of certain death, for giving us hope and assurance of your forgiving grace for our sins, Lord. We thank you during this Eastertide that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will grant that we might continue to grow in faith, that we might continue to confront our doubts and witness to others of this tremendous love, this gift of life that our Lord's resurrection reveals. We lift up each and every prayer need, every prayer concern, the praise reports, and we lift them up and ask them to be done in Christ's holy name, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
If you'd please stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Jesus, keep me.
Let's hear you sing it. Just a closer walk. Oh, come on, though. Sing, church. Brandon.
Brandon, Jesus is my plea.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
May our hearts and minds be open to the reading of God's word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God, people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Robin. And good morning again, everyone. It is truly a blessing to be here in the absence of our pastor. And again, she's fine. She's okay. She needed to be with her family this morning. And we're fortunate in this church to have so very many lay servants who can do the same thing, who can step in and fill in times of our pastor's absence. So we thank God for making that so. This text today is a traditional text, and I'll tell you more about that in a second. It goes without saying, though, that the blessing is really mine to be able to bring that point. But before I do, I want to thank God for a special friend of mine, Mr. James McGill, who just showed up this morning. And he showed up because God led him here, I'm sure. He's that kind of a man who is a special man in many people's lives. And when he walked in the door, I just thought, my goodness, we got a special tenor here. We got a very special tenor there. If James McGill was up in this choir, they'd run y'all up out of here. Oh, that man can sing.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Amen.
We got time for another solo.
So evidently, God sent you the memo. You got the blue and the red going on there. Welcome, Mr. McGill, you and your family. Thank you for being here. And as we get started, let's pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, and in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are several forms of doubt. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, doubt and unbelief. Doubt comes in many forms. There's a doubting spirit. There's the confronted spirit. And then there's the believing spirit. Thomas, as you will hear, went through all of those. Before we get to Thomas, I want to relate a quick story to you about a man and his dog who were walking along the beach, Jacksonville Beach out there, when they see a visitor to the beach. So the owner of this dog is really proud of what was a very newly mastered trick, a very special trick, and he was very proud of this feat. So he says to the visitor who was walking along the beach that he happened to bump into, he said, "Watch this." So he took a piece of driftwood and tossed it out in the surf, and off that dog took, jumped into the surf. No, not into, onto the surf, walked across the surf, picked up the driftwood, brought it back to his master proudly, and the visitor was incredulous. He's standing there looking around like, that didn't just happen. The driftwood went back out in the surf again. Off goes the dog, onto the water, walking across the water, picks up the driftwood, brings it back. He repeated this. The visitor, needless to say, was incredulous. He shook his head in disbelief. And the owner of the dog said to him, he asked the visitor, "Did you notice anything unusual?" The visitor kind of looked at him and cocked his head to the side. He said, "Your dog can't swim, can he?" Can't swim. That's got to be it. So those many forms of doubt that I talked about, confronting, believing, doubting, it's all there. Dog can't swim. This text is a classic text. It's about doubt, as we said, and it's the classic text in that we refer to this passage in tribute, so to speak, of the person that it's with regard to. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever heard of a doubting Thomas? Yes, probably just about everybody has heard of a doubting Thomas. Well, this is the passage that Robin read to us from which that inference is made, doubting Thomas, from this passage here. So here we are on the first Easter Sunday morning, which was a time of indescribable joy. Jesus had risen from the dead. Friday was just a terrible day. It was the day of the funeral. But then Sunday came, and it turned into a festival. It was almost too good to be true. The disciples could hardly take it all in. They were so overjoyed. One more, they were terribly downcast because their beloved master had died hanging there on the cross, taken by cruel men and put to death. But then came the first day of the week, that glorious Sunday when he rose again. It was the beginning of the Christian era because it saw the climax of God the Father's plan of redemption and saw Jesus rise from the dead, and that was the greatest triumph of proof that the sacrifice of his life, given his life on the cross, had been accepted by God the Father as the atonement for our sins, for the sins of the world. Now, we know this story really well. I know most of us do, especially those of us who return to worship God on this Sunday following Easter, even though we follow what we call a lectionary, which is a guide for pastors and others who worship for scriptural references through the year. However, you'll find that all 3 years, this text always follows Easter Sunday. And so I was curious about that. How come this always follows? There must be a special reason. Well, we will soon know what that special reason is. At least I hope to convey that to you here this morning. On this second Sunday of Easter, the central focus is a story that places Thomas in his role as doubting the witness of the other disciples who had actually seen the risen Christ. Keep in mind, Thomas hadn't seen him yet. Now, it would be unfair to this disciple Thomas, to forever brand him, as we have done, as being the unfaithful doubter of our Lord's persecution. Just as it would be unfair to forever picture Peter in his role of denying Jesus those many times on the way to the cross. We know that both of these disciples are pictured as being faithful disciples despite that little bit of whatever you might want to call it, that wayward step away from the path. And both of them, according to tradition, have proved to be faithful apostles of our Lord following his resurrection. So we might ask why this particular lesson is so important in the life of the church. And here it is. It's appointed year after year to be read on the Sunday following the celebration. So let's look at it and try to grasp its significance. First, the author of this lesson tells us that the disciples of Jesus, with the exception of Thomas, had gathered together on the evening that the tomb was found to be empty, after Mary Magdalene had reportedly seen the risen Christ. Now, she reported this to the disciples. They were in disbelief, but hopeful at the same time. She couldn't be right, because that's not logical. That doesn't make sense. I think she's lost her mind. Oh, far from it. Mary Magdalene is not crazy. Mm-mm. It was Easter evening, but instead of celebrating the news of Christ's resurrection, we're told that they had gathered behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish authorities. Why were they afraid? What did they fear? Well, Matthew's gospel gives us a hint. He tells us that the Roman guards who were assigned to guard the tomb of Jesus were there when it happened. They experienced the earthquake. They saw the stone that was sealing the grave moved by an angel. And in awe and utter fear, they fell to the ground and pretended to be dead. They had witnessed what the women saw that Easter morning. So then Matthew tells us a little further. He says that after the women left, some of the guards went into the city. Now, they're pretending to be dead. They didn't even want those ladies to see them milling around. They went into the city, told the chief priests everything that had happened, but instead of receiving the news as good news, the scribes and those who were in charge told them, bribed them, literally, to tell a lie. They were to say, if anyone asked, that the disciples came and took his body away. And that's what they did. They agreed to that. They said to them, if you would say that, it would be so much better, because we don't want this Savior, as they called him, to be risen literally from the dead. Can you imagine the consternation that would cause? So then, the disciples huddled behind locked doors, simply because they were being sought for the lie. They were being sought for stealing a corpse and perpetrating a hoax, which was a crime punishable by death. So there they are. They're gathered together behind locked doors. But those locked doors could never keep our risen Savior from entering those walls. The Scripture says he came. The Scripture says he appeared. The Scripture said he was in their midst. Didn't say the door was unlocked and they let him in. It says that he showed up. He just showed up. And there he was. Now, our lesson tells us that Jesus came and stood among them with a greeting of grace. He said, peace be with you. That's an expression that must have conveyed not just a sense of calmness, but also an expression of forgiveness Because you have to remember, they were, each of them, in several instances, more than once, denying him, denying that they ever affiliated with him. So they were protecting themselves in that case. But God, Jesus, came along and said, "Peace be with you." Not only as a calming effect, but to let them know that they were forgiven. Then Jesus showed them his hands. See? It showed them the wound in his side. Hallelujah. And here's the part that you could just preach on forever, a whole day long. When he showed them his hands and the wound in his side, he then breathed on them and imparted the Holy Spirit on them right then and right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus. But you know, Thomas was not with them that day. Thomas was not there. And for several days, as far as we know, he wasn't there. Could it be that he had heard those allegations against the disciples? Could it be that he was hiding out in a different place? Surely they're going to find that gaggle of disciples over there and get them heads chopped off right away. But maybe. Could it be that... Could have been anything. But here's the point. When Thomas joined the other disciples, he said to them, "I don't believe it." There you go. That's the whole point of the story. He doubts it. He's an unbeliever. "I don't believe it." After all, Jesus had been crucified. He had been taken down from the cross. He had been taken to a tomb. That tomb had been sealed. And as far as Thomas knew, that was it. That's all she wrote right there. They even had people stand and watch over his grave. How could that be? How could he? No way. He couldn't get out of that. So what was Thomas to believe? Who was he to believe? He's hearing this from the disciples, and he's hearing this from the Roman guards who pretended to be asleep and who were bribed to tell a lie. What is he to believe? The message from the disciples was much harder to comprehend than the message from the Roman guards. So this poses the question to each of us. Those of us who have come to worship on this second Sunday of Easter, who do we believe? And what do we believe as well? Do we believe that the disciples have pulled off one of the biggest hoaxes in all of history? No, we don't believe that. Because we know better. We live in the here and now. We live with the risen Savior. Do we truly believe the witness of the disciples? I hope so. Because the disciples have testified that they saw Jesus risen from the dead on that first Easter evening. And I believe that's why the church has chosen to put this lesson before us each and every year on this second Sunday after Easter. It's the church's way of calling us to truly wrestle with the news of the risen Savior. What do we believe? Who do we believe? And then most importantly, why do we believe? Holy Spirit. So he was there, Thomas, in the midst of that fellowship, still wrestling with his doubt, still struggling to believe, but still open to the power of God's Spirit enabling his faith, bringing him that faith that he so longed for. Again, here pops up Jesus, our risen Lord. "I'm back." in the midst, standing there, he turned to Thomas because he already knew what Thomas was doubting, what Thomas was saying, what Thomas was feeling. And he invited Thomas to reach out and touch him and examine the marks of his crucifixion, and thereby turning his doubt into faith. Touch me. Feel the wounds in my side. Here I am. Peace be with you. Verse 21. He said, peace be with you. And Thomas the doubter makes the profound confession of faith. The most profound confession of faith in the entire Gospel of John, saying, my Lord and my God. It was then that his doubt and his unbelief turned over. And he now believed. Hallelujah. Jesus then responds to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Listen, these words of our risen Lord form the climax of John's gospel. These words are intended for those of us who continue to carry on the good news of our Lord's resurrection. Just as it was handed down from generation to generation by those who were privileged to witness our Lord's resurrection. By the time that the Gospels were written, the ascension of our Lord had already taken place. And there were few people, very few people who were still alive, if any, who were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection by the time this Gospel was written. So this story of Thomas doubting the news of Christ's resurrection, news that had been passed down to him by disciples and others, because he had not yet seen the risen Christ, this gave voice to the doubts of every generation. This is where it started, this doubting stuff. And so, on this second Sunday of Easter, we're invited to bring our doubts. Us, we here today, are invited to bring our doubts to God. Bring them into his presence, into the fellowship of the faithful. And along with the faithful, we can struggle, as we sometimes do, to allow God's Spirit to strengthen our faith. Strengthen our faith in the Lord's resurrection and victory over death and sin. Oh yeah, it's an incredible story that we're called upon to believe, that we're called upon to trust. It's a story that defies logic and sane reason. Who would believe that? I saw this man down on the cross. I saw him put into the grave. I saw them seal the tomb. Thomas said, I saw. So just like Thomas did, let us place our doubts before God. Let us be that witness to others. Let us invite the Holy Spirit to enable us to believe the conclusion of this chapter, as Robin read, in verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. Thomas was definitely not half-hearted about being one of Jesus' disciples. Later in that last week of Jesus' life, he was telling his disciples that there was a place for them and that they would be there with him. So Thomas, of all the disciples, the one that we call Doubting Thomas, Thomas asked him, well, how can we go with you if we don't know where you're going? Think about it. I mean, that's not doubt. That's just lack of understanding. The man wanted to know. He would have followed Jesus anywhere. So, It's just a sincere desire to follow Jesus, something that we should also have. And within 18 hours of saying that, Jesus would die a horrible death on the cross. On that third day, that Sunday, the first day of the week, hallelujah, Jesus rose again. Yes, he did. The grave could not keep him. Death could not hold him. And hell itself could not contain him. Amen? Hallelujah. By his death and resurrection, then Jesus defeated sin, death, and hell. And we all have that freedom that God allowed in a way that we had never had before. Amen? So Jesus knew Thomas. He knew what Thomas had asked for. He knew what it would take for Thomas to believe. So now listen, this is important. Jesus knows our doubts too. He knows where you struggle in your faith. He knows when and where you might be stumbling. He knows what's tripping you up. And he knows when you have doubts about what you hear, whether it be in church, in Sunday school, or anywhere else that you might have doubts. So it's important for us to be able to admit that. It's important for us to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm having a little trouble. I need some help. Help me, Lord. And that's all you simply have to do is ask him for help. Help me, Lord. He has already empowered you as he empowered the disciples. And it says here in verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He said, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That breath is a continuation down through the ages. We have also received the Holy Spirit. It is upon us as well. So let us take that and deal with our own doubts. Jesus will lead us to a place where we can be content with the answers. We just have to be listening. We have to be discerning. We have to know what he's saying to us. He invited his disciples, yes, come, look at me, stretch out your fingers, touch me. He could stand up to their scrutiny. So don't hide your doubts. Let him know. He'll be willing to answer your questions. Ask around. Ask your pastor. Ask God. Lord, this used to make sense to me, but I don't know if it makes sense anymore. If you have those kinds of doubts, lift them up. No matter what they are about or to what extent they may bother you, just lift them up. Because doubts, once they are resolved, will make you much stronger afterwards. Once you've read your Bible, you prayed up and you studied up and you sought God and the doubts start to vanish, then you're left with a more rock-solid faith. Amen? Jesus doesn't mind your doubts. He knows who we are, who you are. He knows that we are sometimes fragile and bent out of shape, but he's big enough to handle your questions and your fears. His ego is not so fragile that his day is ruined by one of his children. Trust me. Oh, no. No. He might grow a little impatient. I'm not certain, but he might grow a little impatient with people who don't want to believe. But one way or the other, you're going to believe sometime about something. I won't get into that sermon, but that's another sermon on another day. But believers who struggle with doubt are welcome in God's presence. Like the man who, in the scriptures, the man who said, Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Amen. Just pray. Just be honest. Just say to the Lord, I trust you. Help me work this out, Lord. And so we'll close with this. It's called the Doubter's Prayer. And I'd like to share it with you, if I may. God, sometimes I'm not sure. I don't understand. I can't understand. I don't know what I'm supposed to understand. I'm trying to let go. I'm trying to hold on. I'm learning. I'm growing, stretching. I'm leaving. I'm coming. I'm going. What should I leave behind, Lord? And what should I move toward? God, grow my faith, whatever that means. Not in man, not in systems, not in what someone tells me I'm supposed to believe, but Lord, grow my faith in you, in the living God, the one who heals, the one who reveals, the one who restores, the one who turns the ways of this world upside down, the one who calls me to mercy and justice and love, the one who stirs us to move. Yeah, that's all I really want. Let's go. And more faith, Lord. More of you in me. More of you in us. Amen. And amen.
If you stand and look at the screen behind me, we'll sing your item.
Light of the world, you step out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. You lead the big biggest heart of you. Hope of a life more strong. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, oh my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be.
Stop for a moment.
King of all day, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. On thee you came, the earth you created, all full of saints and of art. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robin, for liturgy this morning. Thank you all for worshiping with us this morning. And let's receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.